Terrific to join, to be speaking this morning to a former Australian Test great in Mike Whitney. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, guys. How you going? I'm pretty happy, let me tell you.
Yeah, you would have been loving seeing what this Australian bowling lineup did. Absolutely ripping through them yesterday.
Oh, look, the whole summer they've been relentless, no matter what combination it's been. And I mean, that's probably been the highlight for me. We lose someone like Joshy Hazlewood, who's, you know, in the top half dozen fast bowlers in the world. We bring in Richardson and Neeser. Richardson takes five in the second innings in Adelaide to win. Michael Neeser was outstanding as well. They had earned their spots and certainly could walk away with their head. So then we bring Boland into Melbourne to fit, you know, fill another spot that he'd earned. And if you are watching first-class cricket in Australia, I've been watching Scott Boland do that for 10 years for Victoria. He's 32. He's a mature player. He wasn't overawed. He bowled just relentless. Their line and lengths were relentless. There were moments, Ron, you said, where England looked like they might have staged a bit of recovery. And look, through the whole series, England knocked on the door a few times, but they just weren't able to open the door and go through it. We just pushed them back with bat and ball. Fantastic. But the bowling for me was just outstanding. Mm.
Well, Mike, I don't want to take away from the great win that Australia has had, but what did you make of, first of all, the collapse from English last night, but just in general, the lack of competition that we saw from that side?
Oh, look, their top order is really struggling. They've got problems with their opening batsmen. I thought Hamid and Rory Burns just technically didn't look good. Zach Crawley come in and he made some inroads, but they... Yeah, look, Joe Root's got to go away again saying, oh, I still haven't scored 100 in Australia. Their selection policy was insane, Jamie. But how can you leave out, you know, two of the best bowlers in the world in Broad and Anderson in the first test on a steaming green top in Brisbane? They leave them out. They use Ben Stokes as the muscle in a couple of games. He bowled five or six overs of short ball, hurts his rib. I mean, you can't give guys like Ben Stokes. You've got to keep him in cotton wool. He's one of the best players in the world. Use him when you need him, but don't injure him and don't give him job. Some of the things that happened for England, for me, were just bizarre. And, of course, when they're in disarray like that, our side is good enough to really put the sword in, and that's what we did.
Mike, we've been talking all morning about the fallout for England after this Ashes series, in particular Joe Root. Do you expect him to stay on as captain after this series?
That's a really good question. I mean, they've got to go back. I heard, you know, Lord, Baron, Sir Ian Botham talk after the game. And I know Beefy really well. I've known Beefy for 40 years. Mate, I could just see it on his face, how disappointed and no fight. I mean, Beefy, in that era that Beefy played in, which was sort of the time I played, mate, they'd go out and they'd guts it out and they'd fight it out and they'd really, 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 really work. Good players and were tough. Mate, the look on his face last night was just, they just surrendered. I mean, gave the Ashes away. And yeah, they've got a lot of looking, particularly at test cricket. They're pretty good in T20s and one days. But mate, when you're talking about cricket, you still talk about test cricket. That's the ultimate for most of the players. And they were very disappointing, very disappointing.
Mike, there were so many highlights for Australia, wasn't there? Obviously, the captaincy of Pat Cummins, this was his first Ashes series, was terrific. But then it's the emergence of players that you've mentioned already, guys like Michael Neeser, Jai Richardson, Scott Boland as well. Travis Head was named man of the series. Is it hard to isolate a standout in your mind?
Yeah, it is. There was many, all of those guys that you talked about just then, Ron, fantastic. I mean, Travis Head, you know, he turned the game a couple of times with the way he just come out. Him and Labuschagne came out in this test match. We were under the pump and just started playing shots and put them back in their box, like turned it around in half an hour. You've got to be a really good player and really back your abilities to do that. And let me tell you, every wicket that we played on had a fair bit of spice in it. These weren't normal Australian wickets this summer. They had seam and swing. And when they weren't seaming and swinging, you know, we bring on Nathan Lyon, who's only taken 400 test wickets, and we bowl him and they can't play him as well. So, yeah, really, really a load of highlights, a load of milestones. I think for Paddy Cummins, you know, being an old ex-fast bowler myself, we always reckon we can captain the teams. But, you know, that's not been the way over 130 or 40 years of Test cricket. But to see Pat up there, the way he presents himself, he's just a wonderful, world-class fast bowler, handy with the bat. And having Steve Smith in his back pocket as well, I mean, that I think is a great combination. If Paddy needs a rest, Stephen just knows everything and can run the whole show. I mean, a lot of highlights for us. We'd walk away from this series going, yeah, what about Cameron Green? We haven't mentioned him.
Yeah.
I mean, again, if you follow first-class cricket like I do religiously in Australia, we've seen this kid and he's been talked about for a couple of years now in the coming up through the youth ranks in Western Australia and Australia. But a couple of my old mates, Tom Moody, Swampy Mars, guys I played with, have kept saying, wait till you see this kid. Now, I haven't seen him in the flesh, but he's a monster of a human being. He's 22 years of age, and his dismissal of Darwood Milan last night when he hit him in the side of the head with a really good bouncer, and then he recognised immediately that Milan's feet just weren't moving at all, which is pretty heavy when you get hit in the side of the head, let me tell you. But then caught the inside of his bat, onto the stumps, out. He recognised that immediately as a 22-year-old with limited experience. He's got such an enormous future. We can see what he's do with the bat. Yeah. What about in the gully? He reminds me of Joel Garner in the gully. He's got a 10-metre wingspan. I mean, you just can't get it past him, you know.
I've seen you talk. You've got some good stories about Joel Garner too. I've seen you talk at this, many a sportsman's lunch before. But just on Cameron Green, for a guy 6'5", like one out Mike, he's a terrific bowler, but can bat as well.
Phenomenal batsman. I mean, he's scored heavily for Western Australia in the last few seasons. Made a lot of centuries for them. And we saw that with his couple of 70s. Look, the only thing Cameron's got to do is just keep building and building and feeling comfortable. We know he's got the chops now. He's 22 years. What a luxury to have someone like that in your side as your fourth bowler who bowls 140 clicks and is as dangerous as the other guys with the bat coming in at five or six or seven. So dangerous, and he's a great fielder. I mean, this is the guy we've been looking for a long, long time. There's other all-rounders. I mean, Mitchell Marsh is just, he's in career best form as well. We could slot him straight in. We have a well of riches in this country at the moment, with batting and bowling, which is just phenomenal.
Mike, yesterday Virat Kohli has stepped down as Indian captain, as their test captain, effective immediately, and this was off the back of them losing 2-1 in that test series to South Africa. What are your thoughts on his decision?
Surprising. I mean, Virat's, you know, one of the best players of all time. He'll be spoken about as a legend when his career finishes. But he's obviously looked at that and thought, well, I probably need a rest from the captaincy. Maybe I'm not performing to the level that I want to. But I was very surprised to hear that he stepped down. Very surprised.
Obviously, we've been talking about Australia and you know, things are looking bright as far as the future is concerned, Mike. But you can lay testament to this. It's one thing, we've had conditions that probably suit us. As you mentioned, there's been a lot of green tops. It's been great for the seamers and getting swing. Now we've got a tour of the subcontinent with a lot of young guys, like a guy like Mitch Swepson, for example, who's going to have to bowl over there. He really hasn't had much time out in the middle in those types of conditions as well. We don't want to have a bit of a false dawn situation, but there's a big task ahead for Australia with this tour of the subcontinent, isn't there?
We're off to Pakistan for a tour. We haven't played there for a long, long time because of circumstances. Yeah, you're 100% right. The wickets will be completely the opposite to what we've seen here. Usually they're dry, turning, spinning, flat decks that their quick bowlers really know how to bowl on by reverse swinging the ball. So we've got to see if our guys can be able to do that over there. The crowds are very hard. It's very hot. It can be an unpleasant place to be. So, yes, it's a big task to pick the right players again for this tour. We're going to need more spinners, not just Nathan Lyon. And the Pakistan team are a very good side. Most sides are good on their home ground. And Pakistan's a very difficult place to tour. So, yes, we need to be on. But we've got, what have we got before that? Some T20s against New Zealand and then some games against Sri Lanka. But that's here in Australia. And, yeah, 100% conditions will be very difficult over in Pakistan, and we need to pick the right players to go over there.
And would Scott Boland be one of those players you'd select to go over to Pakistan? I feel like Australia need him now after this dominant performance in the test.
I'd be taking Scott Boland anywhere, Jamie, after that performance for Australia. Anywhere he bowls, he will bowl just the same stuff, relentless line and length at reasonably good pace. And that's how you're going to get wickets. So, yeah, I'd have him on the tour for sure.
Mike, it seems like an eternity ago we're talking about the Tim Payne scandal and obviously having to relinquish the captaincy and standing down before the start of the Ashes series. What have you made of Alex Carey's replacement after his first series?
Look, I think Alex will look back on this himself and be disappointed that he actually missed a couple. You know, he missed a couple in front of Davey Warner, and then there was one, I think, in the second test he sort of went to go and it went between them. But, you know, he's learning his trade at test level. He's a very, very good cricketer. He has a great sporting background. I mean, he has an AFL background as well. So he knows what team sport's about. He knows his role. I think we saw enough of him with the bat to know that he's a class player as well. He's just got to settle in and realise that playing test cricket's a bit of a different game and you've got to bat time and make partnerships and stuff like that. But, yeah, look, he wouldn't have expected to play in this series. And let's not forget that we lost our captain, Tim Payne, just prior to the series. And that was a bit of a shock and a blow to everybody with the circumstances that surrounded all of that. And then Tim resigned. And what do we do? Yeah, Pat Cummins, great decision as captain, and Alex Carey, great decision as wicketkeeper. And if Alex goes about his game the right way, which I'm sure he will, he seems like he's settled in very well and he's very liked in the team, he could be there for the next 10 years.
Hey, Mike, I know we've spoken a lot about the Australian pace attack this morning, but just in light of what's ahead for Australia, what about the spinners? We didn't even see Nathan Lyon bowled in this test at all, which is quite rare. And we're going to see Mitch Swepson. Just give us an insight into, I guess, those guys and how you think they'll perform moving forward as a spin attack.
As Lyon, well, Nathan Lyon, you could take him anywhere and he's going to bowl really well. I mean, the GOAT is, you know, a great name for him because he is one of the greatest of all time. And when he comes on to bowl, batsman, you know, is he going to bowl this or where's his field? I've just got to have a look at him. It'll be up to the other bowlers that go. And if that's Mitchell Swepson, he's got to make sure he's really on song over there because on the subcontinent, these guys are experts at playing spin bowling. So you can't bowl wide, you can't bowl short. The fields that you put are going to be crucial. He'll have to talk to Paddy Cummins and I'm sure Steve Smith about where the angles of those fielders have got to be around the bat. But I think they can do the job. I mean, Swepson's a very good bowler and he's been sitting on that edge fringe for a long, long time waiting for another opportunity. So, yeah, he'll be chomping at the bit, hoping to get into that side for sure. But, yeah, a lot's going to go on how the quicks set up. I mean, if your quicks go out in the first session in Karachi and get belted all around the ground, well, that puts the spinners under a lot of pressure when they come on to bowl. So that setup's got to be right. He's got to be brought on at the right time, Swepson. But, you know, Nathan Lyon's that good that he can actually bowl from one end all day and plug it up. So there can be a bit of relief there.
Yeah. Mike, always great to talk cricket with you and always great to see you on Sydney Weekender as well. Is that program challenging Play School yet for longest running TV shows on air or how's it going?
Well, Ron, I've got to make an admission, mate. I've just actually finished up with Channel 7 after 27 years.
Oh, is that right?
I'm in semi-retirement. Yeah. I finished at the end of last year and for a number of reasons, but one of those reasons, and this is another admission, my knees are really, really bad and I've got to get them both replaced. So in the middle of this year, I'm going in for double knee replacement and I hope that helps my golf game.
Oh, right. Yeah, well, you don't want to lose your golf game. We don't want to lose you at the sportsman's lunches either. As I said, I've seen you at many of those and you can tell many a great tale and we want to see you at those out and about as well. So when are you booked in for your surgery?
Not booked in yet, but I'll be going to see my old mate, Dr. Nathan Gibbs, who I grew up with.
Who was,
of course, a famous doctor around all of the sporting teams. And, I'll see Nathan and he'll advise me when I need to go. And probably about June or July, I think. So I've got a few months up my sleeve, but I need to get them done really badly. I hope it helps my golf game. I hope I can get back out in the water and do a bit more surfing and a few things like that. But, I'll be around at a few sporties. Don't worry about that, Ryan. I love it, mate.
Mike, it is always great to chat to you, and thanks for joining us this morning on the Big Sports Breakfast.
Good on you, Ryan. Thanks, mate. Good on you, Adam. Thanks, Jamie. Lovely to talk to you guys.